In this morning's gospel, someone asks Jesus about the commandments. It's a test. It's not really an honest question. It's something like the test or the trap that we heard about last Sunday. Remember the question about taxes? But this time it's about the commandments. It's a question of which is the greatest of the commandments. We'll get to Jesus' amazing answer in a moment. Amazing, even more amazing than last Sunday. Last Sunday, give back to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, give back to God what belongs to God. But this Sunday is even better. But before we get to that, I'd like to pause for a moment and reflect on the idea of commandments in general, because there's two different ways people look at this topic. Here in the church, people who come to Mass on Sunday morning, and in any kind of churchy circle, or gatherings of believers, or in homes where faith is appreciated, people tend to have a positive attitude toward the idea of commandments. They think immediately of the Ten Commandments, and they say, okay, well, the Ten Commandments, they're good. They're helpful. They're holy. They are wise guides for a good life. In some parishes, I don't know if we have one here, but in some churches, they have an outdoor monument of the Ten Commandments. I'm sure you've seen them. Sampung utos, you know, a cement or a marble little display of the Ten Commandments, as if we're saying, this is a great thing. We're advertising the Ten Commandments. This is something that we're proud of and we want everyone to know about. So a very positive attitude. But when I talk to people who are not used to this way of thinking, about people who were not raised perhaps with much religion, or who don't trust the church, or people who have really not thought about it very much, they often tend to have a negative attitude toward the very idea that there is such a thing as divine commandments. Their attitude is that they should be free to do whatever they want. Of course. And it's a bad thing to have anyone telling them what they must do or what they must not do. Or sometimes, if people think a little bit more deeply, they say, okay, it's sometimes necessary to have laws, legal requirements, like, for example, there's a law requiring us to pay taxes, but that's not something that we like. Okay, we'll do it if we have to, but we would prefer not to. That's the attitude toward the commandments. So when people of this mindset hear the question, which of the commandments is the greatest, their reaction is, well, none of them. None of them. I don't want any commandments. I want to be free. Now, that's not at all how God thinks. And Jesus' answer, which we'll get to in a moment, shows that that way of thinking is actually a big disadvantage when it comes to reflecting on the commandments of God. In the time of Jesus, the people that he spoke to, the Jews, and especially the Pharisees and the legal scholar who asked this question in the first place, they at least had a very high regard for the commandments. They realized that the commandments of God are a very great gift from God. It made them, to have received the law, made them a privileged group, the chosen people. God favored them with his own law, which he didn't do for other peoples, and they knew that. So they had a very high regard for the law. When it comes to the idea that we would be better off not having any commandments, we should realize that the only one who's not bound by any law is God himself, God alone. He doesn't have to submit to anyone. If we think that we should be able to do whatever we want, we're really implying that we think we should be God, or that we are God, or that we should take the place of God. And that's a really bad idea. That's a really terrible way to think. God himself, who is absolutely free, and who wants to share with us his glorious freedom, he himself follows a principle, a basic principle, a very fundamental law, and he follows it very strictly, the law of love. He's so committed to the law of love that he is love. That's God. And it turns out that this law is the very secret of the freedom that we long for. If we want to be truly free, we must love. Now, we're not forced to. We're free not to follow that law if we want to. Foolish, we're foolish if we don't follow it, but that's the way law is. We're free. I remember reading the story about a man who parked his motorcycle near the railroad tracks, and predictably enough, along came a train and bumped the motorcycle and damaged it. Well, the owner of the motorcycle was angry at the train company, and he wanted them to pay for the repairs. His argument was, well, I didn't do anything wrong. It's not fair that I should have to pay for the repairs. It's not a moving violation on my part. The train hit my motorcycle. There's no sign here that says no parking. There's no law against parking there. And the answer of the train company was, well, yes, you're free to park there if you want to. But then you take the risk of getting hit by a train. So use your common sense. The case, of course, didn't go anywhere. It's ridiculous. We might say to that man, well, who do you think you are? You think you're God? You think that your motorcycle doesn't have to follow basic laws? Don't you know where trains go? It's so ridiculous to us. But the point of this is that the commandments are not meant as some kind of unfair imposition or burden. The law of God is basic common sense, for the most part, basic common sense. Do we need a law to tell us not to park a motorcycle near a train track? Well, we don't need a law. But, I mean, you could put up a sign, no parking here, if you want to, and it's a good idea, but do we need a law like that? Do we need a law that tells us to respect our parents? Do we need a law that tells us to tell the truth, to be honest? I mean, isn't it obvious that that's the right way to live? Do we need a law to tell us not to murder or not to commit adultery? Isn't that just common sense? Don't we already know that we shouldn't do those things? Just take a look at today's first reading. In the first reading, the Lord says, don't molest or oppress foreigners or widows or orphans. Don't mistreat the poor. Don't act like an extortioner. We read that and we say, well, yeah, isn't that common sense? Yes, it is. It's only because we're so often foolish or ignorant or just plain selfish that we need to be told these things. Just like that man with the motorcycle has to be told, well, don't park there. You should know it, but if you don't know it, that's the law. Okay, let's see now what Jesus has to say. He actually goes way beyond common sense here. He takes us right into the mind of God, or into the heart of God. The question was, which of the commandments is the greatest? And he gives not just one, but two great commandments, and both of them are about love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the first commandment, love of God. That's the first and the greatest commandment, love of God. And then there's a second one, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, love of neighbor. It's amazing how Jesus can sum up these profound truths in just a few words. He reveals and describes the law that he himself follows, and he shares it with us freely. Now, there's a lot here. Just to give two very basic and quick applications, today's Prison Awareness Sunday, well, that's an opportunity for us to practice love of neighbor, including our neighbors who are prisoners, many of whom have done terrible things. Well, God doesn't say, love your good neighbors, love your neighbors who do everything right. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. This week, we'll be praying for our deceased loved ones. Many people will be going to the cemeteries, to the provinces. That's another example, love of neighbor, including our neighbors who have already died. Just two quick examples. Now, but before we conclude, let me point out two things about these great commandments. Two choices that are at work here. The first is God's choice. God loves first. He loves us first. He sets the rules of the game. Even before we're created, even before anything is created, He makes love the best way to live. And He makes it possible for us to live this way, even though we're weak, even though we're sinners. He created us in His likeness, to be like Him. And He makes it possible for us to love by pouring His love into our hearts, filling us with His Holy Spirit, who is love, divine love. So that's all God's choice. That's a given. That's the foundation of everything. Before we even ask about any commandments or question what's right, what's wrong, what's the best, what's the worst, God already loves us. And everything that is based on this choice of God to love. So it's always good to know the foundation. Don't ever doubt that God loves you. He does. And He never stops. That's the law of love, and God follows it. Now the second choice, I said the first choice is God's choice. The second choice is our choice. Love is a choice. It can't be forced. It has to be free. It can be commanded because it can be chosen. Love is the very best use of our freedom. The decision to love, the decision, the choice of what is good for the other, what is best for the other, that's love. Now Jesus in another place will say, not only about love, but what is the greatest love? The greatest love is to lay down one's life for the one we love. And that's exactly what He does. Jesus loves to the point of emptying Himself completely. That's why we always put a crucifix in front of us in the Mass, to show us love. So the greatest commandment is to love of God and love of neighbor, they go together. And the greatest love, the greatest fulfillment of the great commandments is to lay down our life for one another. That's the great way of life that this morning's Gospel invites us to follow. We're not God. No, we're not God. But we can be like God. We can be like God if we choose to follow His law of love.